Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome on in, everybody. Recapping last night's action as we had Terrence Bud Crawford retain his WBO welterweight title with a 10th round TKO victory over Showtime Sean Porter. Corner stopping it. His father, Kenny Porter, stopping it, waving it as the referee was asking if he wanted to continue. Sean said that he did. He had taken two vicious knockdowns from Terrence Crawford, who really looked like he was, was just building up the intensity as the fight was going. But it wasn't easy. I mean, Sean Porter did what I think he does in every one of these fights, which is just put up such a valiant effort. He makes it a tough night of the office for everybody that he goes in there with. Every time it looked like that Terrence Crawford was getting a little bit comfortable, was starting to get the jab loose, you know, Sean Porter would get himself right into Terrence Crawford's kitchen. And it was a tough back and forth between them. You know, each one of these guys got headbutt. Each one of these guys got cut. So it was definitely earned the hard way for Terrence Crawford. There's no doubt about that. But, man, he's a sicko. He's a sicko in there. It felt like every time that things got a little bit tough or that Sean Porter, you know, got any piece on him, he just smiled. He went forward. He was trying to outstrength him in wrestling anytime that it got with those dirty tactics. Like, he just never felt fazed. And sometimes when you see those things in a boxing match, it seems like gamesmanship. It's trying to show your opponent that, you know, oh, you got me, but I'm really, you know, I'm trying to show that I'm not bothered. I didn't get that vibe from Bud. Like, I felt like watching Terrence Crawford, like, he legitimately was enjoying, I think, a hard fight. I think he was enjoying the competition. I think he was enjoying Sean Porter bringing a little bit something to him. And I think he was enjoying figuring it out until he could put him on the canvas. Thought that, you know, he was looking for that check hook all night. He was really trying to goad him into things. His hands look fast. The type of range that he has with those arms, even not being the tallest guy in the world, he can still get to you from such vicious angles and such a great distance. And, you know, Sean just has to lunge in there to put himself in such harm's way to get anything on Terrence Crawford. So, shout out to Bud. He got it done. He got everybody who said this is going to be the big showcase for him at welterweight. This is going to be the fight that, you know, will solidify him, that he's not just some product of publicity or whatever you want to say. And anybody who thought that, you're silly, because this guy just shows you Terrence Crawford is a chameleon in there. He can win so many different ways. He can adjust on the things on the fly. He can be patient with a game plan and is really looking to dish out just serious punishment every single time he steps in that ring. This is not a case of how can I outsmart you? How can I appoint you? It's really a case of how can I go in there and how can I destroy you, but also just take as little damage as possible as well. Tremendous performance from him. I think he solidified himself as the top welterweight tonight. If you didn't believe it, it's tough not to accept that right now. Errol Spence was in the building. He walked out. That's a fellowship. That was a tough look for Errol Spence, man. That's a tough look for Errol Spence to be there and to be in the crowd and the cameras catch you. That's a ship leaving as soon as the fight's over. You got to stick around for that. Antonio Tarver said it best. My guy, the Magic Man, where he said that, you can't be in that position and just walk out. Like, you got to be there and start selling the fight. And it's become a thing in boxing where it's like none of these guys want to feel like they want to show that they want the fight, because it shows either a sign of desperation or a sign of frustration or any of this stuff. I loved everything that Terrence Crawford did. Two things tonight. Not only did he win the fight, but he won the post fight and saying these things like, you know, who looks like the number one in the division now? Crowd goes crazy for him. You know, maybe I'll go up to 154 and he could take his tail out of his butt and we could do it there. Basically saying, you guys know who I want. I want Errol Spence next, bar none, mince no words about it. It was absolutely fantastic by Terrence Crawford in every which way. It's enough. It's enough already. The fight has to happen. You know, we've kicked around this enough. We've done enough waiting around. We've danced around this enough. And now it's time to happen. There's no excuse for it. Errol Spence, you know, whatever things he was chasing, Manny Pacquiao, he was chasing Canelo Alvarez. All that stuff is out the window. Manny Pacquiao's president and Canelo's a cruiserweight. You got one thing, you got one responsibility right now to the fight fans, Errol Spence, and that is to go defend your welterweight titles against the other best welterweight on the planet. And we go and get this fight on, man. This fight's going to make a ton of dough. I think these guys will be tremendous. I think with the machine behind them, they'll make huge dough for this. And it creates their own legacy. It creates their own stars. I like it more so than the idea of either one of these guys going and fighting a Manny Pacquiao or, you know, Errol Spence fighting a Canelo Alvarez, which, you know, looked like it would end badly for him. And look, for Sean Porter, like, this was, I thought he looked, you know, good too. I thought that he put up a good test. Man, his dad put up a rough post game. Dads, man, dads are brutally honest. You know, they tell people what you don't want them to hear. I don't know. I'm not going to criticize anybody's parenting, but I just think that because he's also a coach, he's not just his parent. But, you know, son just got put on his ass twice. You stop the fight and you're doing it as some kind of a lesson. Kind of weird. He was down on all the scorecards, but only by a round, probably about to be two. And then one was pretty lopsided, but two of those cards were within reach. He caught Terrence Crawford with a pretty nice right hand. Maybe he could have gotten him with something. So I don't necessarily think it was a bad stoppage by the father, but I would have held that stuff either in the holster or I would have saved it for like the post-fight press conference to blast my son's preparation I don't know. I honestly think that, in my opinion, Sean Porter could have the best preparation. He could be a couple years younger. You could put all the circumstances you want into it. And I think Terrence Crawford is going to have that performance probably 99 times out of 100, you know? And it was, I just thought watching the fight the entire time, as much as I respect that rough and tumble approach from Sean Porter, and man, he was even picking his spots a little bit better tonight. I just felt that everything that Terrence was hitting him with was just a little bit more vicious. It seemed to just have a little bit more snap to it because he's catching it at the end of shots rather than rushing in and trying to make things happen. So there was very little risk in anything that that Terrence Crawford was going to have to eat back with things that he was throwing, where you saw Sean, it was going to eventually catch up to him. It was eventually going to be some serious bad news for him. I love that this performance, though, happens for Terrence Crawford, because you do have that common opponent. You do have Sean. And I do believe this. Like, I hope that I do think finishing in one is necessary. If he would have just wanted a decision, especially a close one, you know, you could go back and say, well, Sean, you know, Errol Spence did the same thing. But, you know, I really thought it was on Bud to really deliver. And he said this in the lead up too. Everything's on the line for him. There's nothing really on the line for me. Everything was on the line for Sean Porter, and there was nothing really on the line for Terrence Crawford. And so he needed to not only have that exclamation point ending to this fight and get it the way that it did end, but also demand what people have been craving to see in fighting Errol Spence Jr. And check. Both of those are there. And I think in a lot of people's minds, you know, re-solidifying maybe in the the number one pound for pound rankings. Some people will still have Canelo number one. I don't have a huge grievance if you have Canelo number one because of the kind of run that he's been on. But Terrence is right there. And if he beats Errol Spence, I think that would probably solidify him as number one. And I just think that the thing that makes him special, Canelo, you know, Canelo's done some great things in moving up, and he's obviously really shown himself to grow as the weight classes grow. He feels like he's getting better. The intentions are getting worse in there. He's got that violent streak in him too. That's been fun to watch. But Terrence Crawford just has so many bags in his trick, so many tricks in his bag when he goes into that ring. It's really like you're almost watching a guy who's just got different moves on the court, has just different, you know, pitches if he was on the mound, has different speeds if he was a quarterback. Like, he's just got such an arsenal in there, from switching stances to the boxing finesse, to the defense, how good it is, to how he can crank up the power, how he can crank up the intensity, the versatility that he's got. He just feels like he's just got every tool of the trade in there with him. So purely from a boxing perspective, I'd give Canelo the edge, just because I think his resume is a little bit better and the names are a little bit brighter. But if you're just talking from a skills position, pound for pound, I don't think anybody touches this guy. I think he's the best out there. I really, really do. And it's no disrespect on Canelo. I just think watching him, I just marvel at all of the things this guy can do, all the things that he seems like he's perfected, all of the strengths that he has. He's just so damn good, man. He's so damn good, and it just feels so pedestrian even coming up with something like that as a description, because he just floors me. He floors me. So great performance from Terrence Crawford. Great call out of Errol Spence. Fight has to happen. You know, we'll see what ends up coming from this fallout of Top Rank being over, all that type of stuff. But I hope that it ends with whatever sides of the track this ends on, it ends with Terrence Crawford with a big payday, taking on Errol Spence, and really, I think, solidifying all the respect. I just thought, all around, just Terrence was fantastic tonight. I mean, I definitely felt like the commentators were leaning heavily towards Sean Porter on the broadcast. I think they were giving him a lot of credit. I don't know if that's because Sean is a peer. You know, he's also a commentator. Everybody loves Sean Porter, and you love that underdog mentality from him. I thought it was close, but I didn't think that it was. I didn't think that Sean's close was like, I thought it was close enough to stay in the fight. I didn't really feel like it was close enough to win the fight, if that makes any sense. Like, I thought that he put up a respectable performance. He certainly wasn't getting blown out by Terrence Crawford, but I didn't really feel like, I felt like every time that he hit it, even Terrence with anything good, I thought Terrence just liked it and wanted to keep coming back with something better. So it's a credit to him that he was able to get some shots and certainly make Terrence Crawford work for it. You want that. You want a dog fight. You want Terrence Crawford to have to go earn it. But I don't think that it was one of these things where, I didn't think Sean was winning the fight. And even some of those middle rounds, they were calling them swing rounds, I guess in my eyes, were swinging towards Terrence Crawford. That's just how it was rolling for me. But Sean Porter's a dog, man. He goes out there and he tries to make these things tough. He certainly made it a lot tougher on Errol Spence, which is going to be that common thread. He said after the fight, that's the man. You know, of everybody that I fought, that's the guy right there. He maybe thinks that he had an argument against Errol Spence. You know, I still think Errol Spence won that fight, but, you know, there's no argument to be had with this one. No argument to be had with this one. And, you know, hopefully him and his dad make up after this one, because I imagine, like, he's going to be like, hey, dad, would you calm down with that commentary afterwards? So, great performance by Bud. Awesome fight night. And, man, make him versus Errol Spence. Don't screw this up. Good Sunday morning, everybody, and welcome on in. It is Tobin's Fight Show here on 790 The Ticket. A lot of great guests coming up on today's program. A lot of great boxing guests coming up on today's program. As we have, I mean, boxing is so stacked over the next 3 weeks and so many great things to get to. One of our favorites, George Ferocious Cambos, is going to join the show today as he is fighting Teofimo Lopez coming up next Saturday on DAZN. We will talk about, I mean, you guys know we've been covering this story like crazy. The fight was supposed to be down here. It was supposed to be down here in Miami. Teofimo Lopez ends up getting COVID. You know, people wondering even if he really had COVID, then all the thriller things, all the twists and turns that it took, the legalities and things like that. So we'll discuss all that with the Spartan himself, hailing from Australia with his Greek heritage. George Ferocious Cambosis joins the program a little bit later on. We will also speak with one of the baddest women on the planet, one of the best boxers on the planet, Amanda Serrano. She is a new boxing relationship with the problem child himself, Jake Paul, and she's going to be on that December 18th card coming up. And so we will speak with Amanda Serrano about all that, her relationship with Jake Paul professionally and how things have developed for her there from a notoriety standpoint. Brandon Figueroa is going to be fighting in the title unification bout next week on Showtime. So you got yourself a little doubleheader coming up next week. We will talk to Brandon Figueroa, second time that we've had him on the program. And, of course, Andre Ward. He stopped by our morning show this week, but he was so great on so many topics that I would figure I'd bring that to you guys as well. Touched on a lot of things in addition to the card that he was working on this weekend. But gave some great thoughts on Canelo, gave some great thoughts on Frank Gore. So I think you guys will look forward to that as well. And also asked him if he would ever come out of retirement to fight Canelo Alvarez. Speaking of Canelo, he was the big story this week as far as the boxing world is concerned. He is moving up to cruiserweight. He is fighting WBC champion Ulungu Makabu for the WBC Cruiserweight Championship of the World. I'm torn on this on a couple of things. You know, I do like the fact that Canelo is moving up. I do like the fact that he goes and is challenging himself and he's trying to, you know, go and be this dynamic guy at 5'9", 5'8", on a, you know, 5'9", on a good day, going up in weight and trying to take on the big guys. I do think that he's actually been a really effective boxer, the bigger that he has been. I think it's cool. I do think that it's cool that he is taking on challenges like this and things like that. So I'm not completely rats off a ship on Canelo Alvarez going up in weight and trying to win a belt in another weight class. I know some people have compared this to the Rocky Fielding move where he's just kind of doing it against a guy who has a belt. I mean, a lot of people, you know, had to look up Makabu coming into this thing. I'm one of them. Haven't seen him fight a ton, you know, looking up his record and seeing that, you know, he's, you know, taking on guys, he's beaten my guy Glenn Johnson back in the day. He has lost to Tony Bellew at cruiserweight when they were fighting for the WBC championship back in the day. Bellew was a great cruiserweight champion, very, very entertaining. But you know, as far as Canelo, I think the thing I talked about last week when he got the win was I wanted to see Canelo go in here and take on, you know, some of the best in the middleweight division. I want to show that he is the man. I think this is his optimum weight class, the 160, 168 area. I don't think there's a need for him to go up to light heavyweight or cruiserweight. And if you're going to do it, you might as well just do it. I don't understand why you don't just go up to heavyweight at that point. If you're going to go fight something or see if you could convince Usyk to come back down and something like that would be like unbelievable. But just to kind of do it against a guy nobody's really heard of, just to add things to your lineage, like, he's done the Ultimate Lineage thing just now. He won the Undisputed 168 Championship. So I don't really think that winning this this belt and this cruiserweight makes or breaks him. I think it's a cool thing to add. I'm not completely poo-pooing it, but it's not what I wanted him to do. What I wanted him to do was stick around, fight a Charlo, fight a Demetrius Andrade, somebody like that, maybe Triple G again. And that, to me, is where it goes. Now, I do think that a positive of this is, okay, Jamal Charlo, Demetrius Andrade, all these people, Jaime Munguia, all these guys who maybe thought that they were going to get a chance at Canelo, now they're not. Okay, let's step up. Let's go make some of this happen. Let's fight each other. Demetrius Andrade getting himself a win this past week against Quigley. Beautiful second round finish for him. That's what everybody's been looking for him to go be a finisher, go finish the job. What will it take for him to maybe fight a guy like Charlo, a guy like Munguia, or maybe a Triple G? I don't know. I mean, I don't really know what else he has to do. I think that from this standpoint, these guys got to start making their own breaks. And, you know, for a guy like Charlo to look at Demetrius Andrade and really scoff at fighting him, I think that's kind of garbage on his part. Like, you know, Jamal Charlo, I would definitely say, has a better resume than Demetrius Andrade, but it's not like overwhelmingly better. It's not like he has like this vast list of A-list wins over the last 5 years of his career where you're just like, yeah, this guy's no doubt. I think that he got the jump on people because he's more famous and maybe got a little bit more exposure early on. But, you know, I think that we haven't really seen him take on quality guys maybe in about 5 years. I think that it's kind of been cherry picking around. Derevchenko's pretty good, but he's always been a bit of a gatekeeper. So for me, I would like to see those two go at it. I think that's been a fun rivalry. I think that it makes a lot of sense. If he could get Triple G, that'd be cool too. Certainly not into this thing that Triple G is going in and about. I just think that Andrade is one where I would like to see what his skills are like against the elite of the elite. I don't understand how DAZN and every move that they have down there, I don't understand how they can't make that happen. It seems to me like it should be very, very doable for them to do it. So hopefully it can get done and we can get to that. But let's switch on over. Speaking of the PBC landscape, Brandon Figueroa, he is going to be fighting coming up next week against Stephen Fulton for the Unified Super Bantamweight Championship of the World. He has the WBC belt. Fulton has the WBO belt. So these guys will get it on Showtime. Here's my conversation with Brandon Figueroa. Very excited to talk to our next guest yet again. He is the champ, Brandon Figueroa, who is going to be fighting in a unification title bout coming up next Saturday on Showtime against Stephen Fulton. Brandon, thanks so much for joining us again, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
How excited are you to finally get to this, man? There was a little bit of adversity. You had a COVID case right before it, before you were scheduled to do this fight. So it's got to be exciting that it's finally here. A lot of anticipation for this one.
Yes, sir. You know, relief and, you know, finally that, you know, we're closing the camp strong. I'm just happy, excited, ecstatic. I mean, you name it. I'm just so ready to get in the ring and you know, show everyone my hard work, show everyone my skills and you know, go up against Stephen Fulton, which is a great fighter, and just take it to him, take the fight to him and beat him.
I imagine you were, you know, pretty okay when you got it because you're doing a pretty quick turnaround, like, you know, doing it in November. Like, was your case okay? Did you have any ill effects when you contracted COVID, or was everything for the most part fine?
I mean, yeah. I mean, the only thing I had was congestion. I recovered really quick, thank God. And my family too, you know, my family got COVID as well because my family is my team. But yeah, you know, we all recovered well. We're back and we've been back stronger than ever. And, you know, now we're just days away from my fight. So we're nothing but excited and blessed just to be here. And especially me, you know, just being days away to, you know, show everyone that, you know, all the doubters that doubt me, even in the last fight, this fight, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going there and I'm going to show everyone that, you know, never doubt me again.
What's the thing that's gotten to you the most, though? Like, what is the dumbest thing that you hear people say that you're like, these people don't know and they're going to learn?
Probably the dumbest that I ever heard was that I got COVID on purpose because I wanted to duck Fulton, which is something like, why would I get COVID and give my family COVID just to opt out of a fight, which to me doesn't make sense. So the people were mad because I got COVID and I'm like, why would y'all be more mad than me when I'm the one that put in all the hard work for 2 months and a half, wasted, you know, financial money on my training camp, food, you know, et cetera. And it turns out that they're more mad than me when they're sitting on the couch, just hearing the news, expecting a fight. But at the end of the day, they don't know what a boxer goes through, especially in and out of the ring. So to me, that was just amazing to hear that, you know, I contracted COVID on purpose.
That has to be a while. I couldn't even imagine as one of the baddest men on the planet to hear something like that from a keyboard warrior, because you think about that. This is how you make a living. You've been doing this since you were a child. You're raised in this. And to think that you would all of a sudden, the fight's closing in. What do we, let's use the pandemic as an excuse. That has to be infuriating. I can't even imagine. And I know you're not the only one. I heard that back with the down here in Miami, we were supposed to have the Lopez versus Kambosos fight. And that was the same thing. People were like, oh, Teofimo, he doesn't really have COVID. This is all a conspiracy. And this is Tyson Fury. Crazy thing. Like, this is just the unfortunate world that we're in where, you know, that this is just something extra that fighters have to deal with. That on top of everything else that you guys do.
Yeah, exactly. So just you hear that to me, I was just like, oh. I mean, to me, I never take anything negative. You know, I just, nah, whatever. I mean, I ignored them. They don't know what's going on. I went back home, recovered, came back, and now we're just 2 weeks away from closing another training camp strong. So, you know, we're just blessed. We're thankful to God to be here, and I'm just excited, man. I mean, I don't know what to say. I just can't wait to get in the ring.
Is there anything that you feel you did? Like, how did you take advantage, I guess, of getting extra prep from this? Do you feel like you had to do anything different? Did you take advantage of it in any way, or do you feel like you just reset in the right way and you're just in perfect condition going into this thing?
Yeah, you know, I just had to reset, recover, and, you know, we came back a lot better, strong-minded, you know, just relief, because we were so close to the fight last camp, and just to leave camp that way was just frustrating. But, you know, we just took a step back, recovered, and we came back and with a great mindset, positive mindset. And I mean, nothing to worry about. I mean, things happen, and we just have to pull through and push through.
This was this fight at all ever a hard sell on you? Like, a lot of the times young fighters, they're steered away. Don't do the unification bout yet. Let's protect the O. Let's keep it going a little bit. You're a young man, a young fighter, and you're going right to the challenge immediately. You're not ducking anybody. It's you and Steven. You're both going, putting your belts on the line. Like, why is this important to you that you're taking on the biggest challenges, even at such a young age?
I mean, because this is what boxing is about. You know, this is what I wanted, you know, was to fight the best. I didn't care who I'm not scared of no one first off. And, you know, just fighting the best to me is what really matters. You know, winning these belts, reclaiming yourself as the best 122 pounder to me is something more special than you know, protecting an O or just, you know, just riding the wave. You know, I don't like to do that. I like to have challenging fights. I like to test myself, and I like to make sure that I belong in a world class level, which I know I do. So next Saturday, y'all will see.
Now, is there any challenge for you? This may seem ridiculous, but Thanksgiving is next week. Are you fighting during the holidays? How much does this suck? Like, are you guys going to do anything afterwards? Like, what is the plan here? Are you doing any celebration post? Like, because I imagine as you, everybody's fattening their faces and all this type of stuff during the holiday, all the trimmings they got going on, that's got to be nutty as a boxer. You got to make weight on Friday.
No, yeah. I mean, this is something that, you know, it's part of my job. This is something that I've been doing for years. You know, I miss a lot of holidays. I even miss on my birthday where I have the cake in front of me. I have, you know, they make food and I can't eat, you know, I can't enjoy anything of that. But, you know, I know that every sacrifice, you know, has its benefit after. So to me, it's just a reward. I told my family that regardless, even if we miss Thanksgiving, we're going to go back home and still have Thanksgiving because I love eat. I love to eat. I love Thanksgiving, especially. So, I mean, there's nothing to worry about. I mean, this is just something that, you know, I got bigger things on my plate to worry about. And then after, you know, we'll do all the fun stuff. So, I mean, like I said, I've been sacrificing a lot. I know boxers go through a lot, which people don't understand. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is part of our job. And this is what we're willing to sacrifice and what we're willing to do for the victory.
Catch him coming up on Saturday, November 27th, a Showtime main event, a title unification bout. Brandon Figueroa is taking on Stephen Fulton as they are putting their belts on the line. Hey, man, good luck next week. A healthy fight week to you. We're looking forward to it. You always bring the action, and we're looking forward to this one. This sounds like an awesome one.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Take care, Brandon. Thanks again to Brandon for the time. Really appreciate it from him. When we come back, George Ferocious Kambosos makes his return to the program as he is a little under a week out from taking on Teofimo Lopez for the World Lightweight Championship. Back after this. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin's Fight Show here on 790 The Ticket. You guys know we've been following this fight for a long time, and that is the matchup between Teofimo Lopez and George Ferocious Kambosos. All the belts on the line, including this WBC franchise belt. Look, this whole argument over who the WBC champion, we talk about this with George a little bit. To me, this is the undisputed championship. Devin Haney is a really great fighter. I look at him as championship quality. But I look at Teofimo Lopez as the man of this division right now, and that George Kambosos is the number one contender. He's getting the crack at all the belts. He will have a WBC belt around his waist when this thing is all said and done. But we ask him about the whole Devin Haney thing. We go down that path. This has been a crazy road for him, man, between, you know, having this fight, living in South Florida for a very, very long time, being halfway around the world. He's from Australia. They're under much more strict lockdown than we are down here. He was away from his wife up until fight week when Teofimo Lopez contracted it. She was pregnant. He ends up having a baby in September and is back home in Australia for most of this training camp. Did it a little bit differently than the original fight. But, you know, this thing has had so many twists and turns between changed dates, changed promoters, possible lawsuits that are coming out of this thing. So he's had a lot of stress to deal with this on top of the fact that he is going in there with a guy who everybody really regards as one of the best lightweights on the planet. So here's our conversation once again with George Ferocious Kambosos, probably his fourth, fifth time on the program, as we've gotten to talk to him through many stages of his career. Here's our conversation with the man they call the Spartan, George Ferocious Kambosos. Very excited to talk to our next guest here on the show. He is back down here in South Florida, one of our adopted own. He is getting ready for the biggest fight of his life again. George Ferocious Kambosos getting ready to take on Teofimo Lopez on November 27th in New York at the Hulu Theater. Now on DAZN. Look, man, it's good to have you back down here in South Florida. Welcome back. And just all the, I mean, is it feel like, I imagine it's got to just feel like a bit of a relief. Like it's finally going to be here yet again after all the twists and turns with this thing.
Yeah, look, it's a pleasure to be here. You know, I like the adopted, you know, son of South Florida. You know, who knows, I'm my boy house down here and relocate. That's how much I love it. But look, it's exciting. You know, it's been a long journey, a roller coaster road. And, you know, throughout it all, I've stayed very focused. You know, I've stayed, you know, on my grind. I've perfected my craft day in, day out. And look, we're here now. We're 10 days out. You know, I will be there. Let's hope he's there. And we've got a fight.
Is it can you just take me back to June, George? Because I remember, you know, we did the interview via Zoom, you know, you, me, Teofimo and Leroy, and he was had a very big arrogance about the idea that, you know, I'm the one who got you paid. I gave this all to you. And for to get the news that he's not showing up to fight night and that everything's kind of crumbled after all this talking about almost like him doing you a favor, like what went through your head when you got the news of that?
Well, look, he was never doing me any favors. You know, we all know the truth about everything. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm the IBF mandatory. You don't want to fight me and you want to go chase someone else, then go and fight somebody else. Just release that belt and I would have fought the next contender. But I earned my shot. I beat the former champion in his hometown. You know, the guy who defended that belt six times, who was the number one in the WBO as well. So I earned my shot the hard way. I've had to, you know, literally crawl to get my my recognition and to get to where I am today. So, you know, all that talk and he wasn't there. You know, that's the funny bit. But, you know, I said it. You know, my father was next to me and I go, he looks sick. Something doesn't look right. Me, I'm fresh as. You know, I'm always very cautious and, you know, I know what I got to do throughout my preparation. But I said it. He doesn't look well. I don't know if it was the weight cut or what else it was. Obviously, we found that it was COVID. It is what it is. You know, at the end of the day, I was very angry at that stage when I found out. But, you know, I did hear he got very, very sick. So I'm happy that he's a little bit better. But let's hope that's not an excuse when we step inside them ropes and I win this fight.
Now, you did most of this camp back home. Obviously, you were in South Florida for such a long time with all the shifting that went on with the original plan. How was that? Was it because you had a baby? Congratulations, becoming a dad yet again. What was it? Did you find it, you know, a bit more relaxing for everything, just to, you know, kind of be in your element, be home, enjoy the family life as well as all the crazy preparation that you do for this?
Yeah, look, the way this preparation, it's been one big preparation. So, you know, the 4 months was here. I went back home and done the next, you know, 3 months or whatever it was, you know, with my Australian coach, Mick Akaway. Great sparring. Lenny Zappavigno's got a massive name here. A few other really good guys as well. You know, the preparation has been fantastic. And then obviously we flew over here and continued the preparation and sharpening everything up. You know, we are ready. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, where we've done it. We could have done it all in Antarctica if we wanted to. You know, the hard work and the love I have for this sport and what I put my body through doesn't change. So it's been great, you know, to be there for the birth of my child was even more motivation for me. And, you know, we are fully prepared for the fight and to win this fight.
Yeah, you always say, like, you never stop training. Like, you're always constantly going. There's a thought, because you're still a very young man. Like, you're a young fighter. You're still very, you know, 19 fights is a great record, but it's not like, you know, you still got a long way to go and a lot of great things to do in your boxing career. Have you been able to take all of this time of preparation? Do you feel yourself still becoming a better fighter, even though they haven't been necessarily, you know, pro fights, but I'm sure you've been doing crazy sparring, all these things just to improve?
Yeah, 100%. You know, when I went back home, you know, I said, I'm going to get better and better. Every day I'm going to get better and better. While he's enjoying himself, while he's taking time off, I got better and better. And that's why I am a better fighter than what I was June 19th. I was still going to beat his ass June 19th, but now I'm going to double beat it. I've just, you know, the way I am, that tunnel vision is unbreakable. You know, when the fight got postponed and he got COVID, I went and trained. You know, I didn't stop. You know, people were seeing me at the hotel in my gym gear. They go, what are you doing? The fight's postponed. I go, and what? I still got a fight to win. Yeah, this might take a bit of time, but this is war, and war takes a lot of time. You know, talk about the birth of my child. You know, on the same day, my grandfather passed away a couple hours later. Man. What did I do that night? Anyone else would have, you know, done nothing. I trained that night, and I haven't stopped since that date as well. So and that's the kind of fighter I am. I'm unbreakable. My tunnel vision is too strong, and I've really left no stone unturned, you know, in this fight. When I step inside them ropes, I know that there's nothing, you know, left behind. I am fully prepared and ready to execute and win this fight.
You know, no matter what fight we've gotten ready for, you've always had that mentality. But did this one have any more challenges as far as, like, just, you know, challenging your mental strength? Or did it just get, I guess, did it just fortify what you've thought all this time, that you've trained yourself for the tough moments if anything like this has come? Have, like, you've been able to show yourself, good, I was mentally ready for all this? Or were there actually... was this definitely, like, maybe the hardest run of your professional career just because of all the adversity?
I'm very strong. Mentally, I'm very strong. Physically, I'm always in 110%, you know, prepared to throw down any time. But mentally, I'm unbreakable. So whatever came, whatever issues that we had, dates, you know, postponements, changes, legal issues, I got a great team. I'll let them handle that. My business is to prepare the best of my ability and be inside them ropes and win fights. So, no, I'm too mentally strong.
How excited are you to be on DAZN? DAZN's one of the biggest names in boxing right now. They've obviously taken over the sport. You guys are now on them. How excited are you for that?
Look, super excited. Eddie Hearn and Matchroom and DAZN, they do an unbelievable job, and everything is super professional. It's exciting because I know I'm going to have my biggest win, you know, on such a professional outfit. Look, I had my biggest win against Lee Selby on DAZN, and obviously on Matchroom and Eddie Hearn promoting. This time it's extra special, you know, being such a big fight and the stakes are so high. So it's great. I'm looking forward to it, and I know they got a lot planned. And look, they're going to make it memorable, and I'm going to make it very memorable.
It's going to be a big couple of weeks on them for the division too, because Devin Haney's fighting the next week. He's fighting Jojo Diaz. You come out with a win, he comes out with a win. Is that a fight that intrigues you?
Yeah, 100%. Look, we've been messaging with each other, and you know, he's a good guy, and I'm sure he has the same respect for me. But you know, we're here to handle business, like we said, and you know, I'll have everything, he will have his belt as well, and you know, we make a massive, you know, undisputed title fight. You know, I know everyone's always confused about undisputed, unified. I didn't get mixed up too much in that, but obviously with a fight between myself and him, we could say this is the proper, you know, no, there's no double minds.
Yeah, it is. It is nutty with all the belts, because, like, I'll even see on YouTube comments like, "This isn't for the undisputed title." I'm like, I don't know, man. I see everybody with all the belts there. This looks like it's pretty fortified to me. But the idea that you guys would be in there again, obviously, people would be pretty pumped about that.
The way I look at it, if there was no belts on the line, but there was a WBC franchise belt on the line, would that be considered a world title fight? Yes. So that is a world title, and to become undisputed, you need to have four belts. Doesn't matter if there's another belt someone else has. You know, that's great. It's more opportunities in the division. So, look, I say it's undisputed, but, you know, whatever people say, that's doesn't bother
me. It's pretty
damn
good, no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what, it's good. And at the end of the day, it's at the point where, yeah, the belt's beautiful. That's the bonus. It's about me and him fighting and taking that scalp. You know, this is a war. You know, I can't wait. I'm very excited for this fight. And, you know, the way I look at it, it's war. And I was there June 19th. So if we go back to the olden days, and I rock up on the land ready to fight and he ain't there, who's the winner? So really, in my head, I'm already the champion and I feel like this is the rematch now.
How personal, I guess, is the fight because of all this stuff with him? Like you say, you would fight him for no belts. You know, the money doesn't matter, but the idea of just beating Teofimo Lopez, how much do you just want to do it because he's pissed you off this whole time? Like
he hasn't pissed me off. You know, he's just his little mistakes that he's made, but that's him, and that's, you know, being a young kid, you make them mistakes. You know, you're caught up in the bright lights. But I'm cool, calm, collected. Really, this is not personal for me. This is business. You know, I've seen him say, this is personal, I'm angry. Okay, bring your anger to the fight. I am very relaxed. I am very cool, calm, collected. And, you know, I know what I'm going to do. I know the preparation I've had. I know the condition I am in, physically and mentally. And I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, I just want him there, obviously, next week.
I want to get a couple phones in here before we get you out of here. So, big news down here in Miami is Miami Hurricanes legend Frank Gore is going to be stepping into the boxing ring. Now, he is trained at your gym, at the Sweatbox gym. Have you ever seen Frank train? If so, what do you think we're getting here with the legend of Frank Gore? Because I'm very excited about seeing. I know all the celebrity boxing gets a little bit wacky, but Frank is beloved down here. So have you ever gotten a chance to see him work out, box? Like, what do you think we're getting here when we see Frank Gore against NBA All-Star Deron Williams?
Yeah, look, I'm always in the gym when Frank's there as well. I actually was watching his sparring on Saturday. And, man, the guy is sharp. For a big guy, he moves unbelievable. He's got a fantastic jab. And he's sparring some good guys, too. He's sparring real fighters, guys that are trying to take his head off. And he's landing his shots, too. So I gave him a few tips after sparring. He was asking a few questions. And I gave him my input, a couple of tips from my side. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm confident he's going to win this fight. And he will win his fight. And, you know, like I said, you know, it will be easier than what you think. But it's great to see. It's great to see, and he's an athlete, you know. But like you said as well, he's been the top at NFL. Now he's starting again in boxing. It's a whole different, you know, concept. But you know, you can see the fundamentals. You can see everything: the movement, the jabs, the body shots, the, you know, the right hands. You know, he's a good fighter.
What are the professional athletes that you come across? Don't they realize is so tough about boxing? Like guys who any who it may be, just professional athletes you come across, like, man, I can't believe that this is something you do to make a living.
Look, boxing is so raw. Boxing is like, you know, you got two guys, you know, trying to take each other's head off, and for the certain amount of time, you know, you got to be unbelievable condition to, you know, not get fatigued, and then have that guy trying to land more shots on you because you can't defend yourself anymore. You know, you got no, you got your team, but you don't have another, you know, 12 or 13 players or 20 players. You know, like a team sport, say, I'm injured, I'm hurt, sub me. You know, this is, you know, you'll get hurt, you will take shots, but it's that willpower inside you that says, okay, you got me, but I'm still here, I'm still standing. That's what a lot of guys don't understand. And, you know, there's different athletes that come in, that take a few shots, say, well, this ain't for me. I'll go back to doing what I'm doing and making the money. But, you know, you go back to Frank, you know, he loves it. He actually loves it. And that's why he's so adamant and wants to learn and wants to ask questions, because he actually loves the sport, and he wants to do good in the sport. So, you know, it's a sport like no other. You know, it really is.
So Canelo came out. It came out this week that he's going to probably go up to cruiserweight. So now not only people talk about cruiserweight, but this ain't even like, oh, maybe we'll see Canelo at heavyweight. I don't know if that's going to happen. That sounds crazy to me because of all he's done, but he is, you know, one of the best guys on the planet. George Foster Kambosos, what is the biggest weight class you think you could be an elite fighter at? Like, if you said you gave me the proper time, the proper training, what is the biggest weight class you think you could be a champion at?
I think a welterweight is as far as I can go, you know, physically. And, you know, these guys are big. These guys take, you know, your shots. So you need to use a different aspect, a bit like Manny Pacquiao. Use that speed, use that movement, frustrate them, pick them off, and brutally beat them down. So I believe with my speed and explosive shots, and as I would come up, you know, with my movement and control that speed, you know, I'd be a very dangerous fighter at that weight and can win a world title at that weight. But for me, I'm very comfortable at 135. I make the weight very easy. You know, I can even go down to 130 if I wanted to. I can play around and go capture a title at 130 and come all the way back up to 140. I got the kind of build that can, you know, go down or come up. You know, it depends where I am in a fight and where I want to obviously put the size or drop the weight. So, you know, I've got a lot of options, you know, a lot of things, but at the moment, I got one focus, and that's cleaning out the 135 division, and that will be in 10 days.
It's coming up November 27th on DAZN. You guys can watch George Ferocious-Kambosos go up against Teofimo Lopez. You don't care that the world, the odds are stacked against you. You don't care about all the stuff that you've had to go through. What is the world going to learn about George Ferocious-Kambosos on November 27th?
They're going to see the best lightweight in the world. They're going to see the emperor that just cleaned up everything, came over and took everything. You know, so I don't get too focused on the odds. I don't get too focused on what people, you know, say and what they believe. I know what I believe, and I know what the way I've prepared to win this fight. So bring it on.
You've ended it all with grace, man. So listen, congratulations again. That's finally coming up for you. I'm very much looking forward to this matchup again. November 27th on DAZN. Everybody go check it out. It's going to be a hell of a show. And George, enjoy your short stint down here in South Florida before you head up out to New York, man. You know, enjoy the sunshine and all that. And we love having you down here.
No, I appreciate it, man. This is like home. So, you know, we're super excited. We are ready for war. And, you know, myself and my whole team, you know, we love it down here and we are ready. We have prepared.
Thanks again to George for the time. We really, really appreciate it. We come back, Amanda Serrano. She is going to be in action coming up on the Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury card. She is in the co-main event. She is now under the promotional banner of MVP Promotions, which is owned by Jake Paul. We talked to her about that. We talked to her about a lot of things as far as the boxing scene is concerned and her upcoming bout on December 18th. Amanda Serrano joins us next. Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin's Fight Show here. Very guest-packed shows. We did a lot of interviews in the lead-up. It's been a very, very busy time in boxing. We got a lot more coming up as well as the weeks go on. A lot of people looking to get their fight cards out there. But this one is very exciting. I thought this was going to be down here in Miami. I thought we were going to get Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury. As my wife and I, big Love Island fans. We're big fans of Tommy Fury. We liked that show, and now he is going to be taking on the guy who I would say is probably the most hated man in combat sports right now, and that is Jake Paul. But somebody who knows another side to Jake Paul, besides the trolling, besides all that stuff, is Amanda Serrano. And Jake Paul is doing a cool thing where he is giving her a very big platform and co-main event her on the last fight card, and now doing that again here with his upcoming fight against Tommy Fury, taking on Miriam Gutierrez. Amanda Serrano, who has won belts in many, many weight classes. She is one of the best boxers on the planet. And I got a chance to speak with her this week in the lead up to her fight against Miriam Gutierrez, which is going to be on December 18th, live in Tampa Bay. And we talked to Amanda Serrano many things about her career, about the partnership with Jake Paul, all that and more. Here's our conversation with Amanda Serrano. Coming up on December 18th on Showtime pay-per-view, you have Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury. But on that card, one of the baddest women on the planet, one of the best boxers on the planet, Amanda Serrano. She is going to be fighting on this card as well against Miriam Gutierrez. Amanda, thank you so much for giving us some time. Really, really appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to do the show, and I'm super excited to be fighting.
Yeah, we're excited to see you back in action. I thought I was getting excited, Amanda, because I thought this fight was going to be down here in Miami. We were like in the rumors that week before you guys settled on Tampa. Like, did you hear how close it might have been to Miami, or do you just find out, it's Tampa, I got to go to Tampa?
Yeah, no, I just found out, I'm going to Tampa today for the press conference. I guess the fight is going to be in Tampa.
How was that experience? Look cool. You guys got like the lightning jerseys at Amalie Arena. How was that whole experience for the launch of the fight?
It was amazing, and to be present in the home of the champions, it was really, really cool. I was like, oh my God, I fit in.
we have a little bit of bad blood with them, with the Florida Panthers down there. Panthers and Lightning are bitter rivals, Amanda. So.
Oh. Well, sorry, I have no idea.
It's okay. It's listen, you know about rivalries, you know about that. It's part of sports. It's what makes it fun.
Yeah, I'm a New Yorker. I mean, we have that with the Mets and the Yankees and the Jets and the Giants. I mean, right now, I don't know who's the worst one because they're all bad.
So this partnership with Jake Paul, how did this come to be? I know you've been on his cards before, but like, how did you guys meet? And then when did it dive into you wanted to, you know, become boxing partners with him?
Well, the first time we met was when he was making his debut in Miami. I met him and I knew of him because of my nephews. You know, they're big fans of Jake and Logan Paul. And I told them where I'm fighting, and they tell me, oh, my God, Titi, you're fighting on the Jake Paul's car. I was like, oh, really? I'm fighting? Because they were like, I told them I'm fighting, and they said, no, you're fighting under Jake Paul. I was like, okay. So when I met them, I was excited to meet them for my nephews and my niece. So that's how we met. And then I was offered to fight on the card of the last fight. It was on Showtime. And I said, my God, why not? It's a great platform to showcase women boxing. I know he brings in a lot of viewership, a lot of entertainment. So I said, yeah, I would love to do that. And after that fight, but during the whole fight camp, we became like really good friends. And it was amazing to see how and to feel how, you know, how welcoming him and his team was. And after the fight, they called us and said, oh, how would you like to be a part of MVP Promotions? I was like, oh, my God, why not? And that's how it started.
That's really, really cool. I remember that card. That was down at it was like that little area during Super Bowl week. I remember that debut. And nobody was there by the end of it to watch a Demetrius Andre box because everybody was there to see Jake Paul.
Oh my God! You see, I didn't even know. He was the main event.
Yes, he was.
Oh my! You see, it totally flew off over my head.
Yep.
I thought it was Jake Paul.
No, it was. I remember. It was like I remember because I talked to Jake that week on Radio Row. He was actually there with Shane Mosley, and it was like he was just getting into the boxing thing. But I had talked to Andre the week of that card because it was his event. But you wouldn't have known it by the crowd because everybody was there to see Jake Paul.
Oh.
So how from your standpoint? With this new partnership, have you noticed the exposure? Like, are you getting what you want? I mean, your boxing resume is nearly unparalleled. Like, no, you know, the amount of divisions you've won championships in and everything that you've accomplished. That being all said, have you noticed more people noticing you because of this partnership with this promotion?
Oh yeah, definitely. It's so funny because the gym I go to, right up the block, there's a school. And one day I was outside, I was doing a photo shoot, and I had my belts. And there was a whole bunch of teenagers coming. They were going to a park or something. And they were like, oh, my God, that's Amanda Serrano. She's with Jake Paul. She signed with Jake Paul. And I was like, oh, my God, they know me because of Jake Paul. So I'm getting a lot of I got a lot of new followers on Instagram, on Twitter, and they're a younger viewers. So I mean, it's pretty cool. And then we have, you know, other people, like other celebrities and other big athletes that are following me, and they know who I am, which is super cool. You know, I've been fighting for so many years, and I never like felt like I've been acknowledged or been given what I deserve. And now we have Jake Paul, you know, hyping me up and just being behind me. And we're getting this, and it's pretty cool.
I wanted to get your input on this. We're down here in South Florida, and we have a really, really good, bright young boxing prospect that I've seen you have a relationship with as almost like a younger brother in Xander Zayas.
Yes. Oh, my God, I love him.
He's such a good kid. I love speaking with him and seeing how his career has blossomed.
Yeah, his mom, his stepdad, they amazing.
What do you think of the start? I mean, he's already like got, you know, 10, 11 fights under his belt already, which is crazy. I remember talking to him when he's 16, but just how his boxing career has already started off, and what do you think of the potential that he's got down here?
He has so much potential. This kid is—he's so young, he's so talented, and you can see as his fight goes on. Like, if he needs to change something, he's changing it fight after fight. And he's—you know—I love him, and I'm super excited to see where he goes. And I think he is the future for Puerto Rico. And now he's representing Florida, but he's just amazing with amazing family and amazing people backing him up. So I'm excited to see him.
Can you explain the passion for those who don't know? Just the passion Puerto Rico has for boxing, like the way that they get behind their own is really something special.
It's crazy. I mean, you know, there was a time where me and my sister, we were the only champions out of Puerto Rico, and they gave us so much love and respect. Even if we're women, you know. Boxing is like their pride and joy. They're like, we don't care. We need somebody to represent us. And I don't know. It's just we go out there and we put it all on the line. And I guess that's why they appreciate us and they love us. And no matter what, they're always backing us up.
Well, listen, we can't wait to see you back in action December 18th on Showtime pay-per-view, taking on Miriam Gutierrez. It's going to be the Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury in the main event. You got Frank Gore, Miami Hurricanes legends on the card, taking on Darren Williams. So it's a fun card. It's definitely a little bit different, but is really, I think, as you've heard from Amanda, bringing a new eye to the sport. And thank you for spending time with us, Amanda. Really, really appreciate it.
No, thank you so much. And I'm more excited for the main event than my own fight, because that fight is going to be great.
Appreciate the time, Amanda. Thank you.
No problem. Have a good one.
Thanks to Amanda for the time. Really, really appreciate it. Also, this week got a chance to speak with Andre Ward on the morning show. I wanted to bring you just a couple excerpts from that, and that particularly the stuff that he has to say on Canelo. Canelo in the news this week. And Andre Ward, interesting enough, you know, a lot of people think that Andre Ward is this like anti-Canelo agenda. And, you know, me personally, you know, people are talking about what are the big fights out there for Canelo. I mean, if he's going to move up in weight, one guy I would love to see him fight is Andre Ward. I'm not going to mince words. Like, Andre Ward, I brought this up to Leroy, is younger than Triple G. Everybody talks about, you know, all these pundits that are out there, they want to say, oh, I want to see him fight Triple G. Andre Ward's younger than Triple G. He's younger than Triple G by a couple of years. And I know that he's been out of the ring for about 4 years now, but, and I don't think that he is going to come out, because I don't think Canelo is going to call him out. But in my mind, I think that's one of the best fights out there. I think I think it's a big fight. I think it would get people amped up, because Canelo would be fighting a much more credible, big opponent. Andre Ward talked a lot about, you know, this idea of moving up to heavyweight before he shut down his career. So just to give you a little bit of an excerpt from our interview with Andre Ward, our conversation regards to Canelo Alvarez moving up, and would he ever fight him? Andre Ward, you made one of the news this week that Canelo Alvarez is moving up yet again, it seems, to cruiserweight. Mm-hmm. You cleaned out many divisions. I remember before you retired, there, you even hinted maybe you were going to go to heavyweight. This idea of going up even bigger for Canelo, do you like this idea? Are you into this next phase of his career he seems to be going to?
Man, I keep getting put in these tough predicaments with Canelo, man. And people, they keep wanting to pit me against Canelo like I have a dislike for him. And I really don't, you know. But when you start talking about a fighter being an all-time great and all everything, I'm a boxing mind. I'm not a fan, right? So I'm going to go and I'm going to dig and I'm going to do my research. I already know the history, but I'm going to go just to make sure I got it right. Well, who did he fight? Okay, he fought this name. That's a pretty big name. Well, where was that name at when he fought him? Man, that guy was a little past his prime. Okay, let me see. Let me move up the list a little bit. Then, man, he waited until this dude had already been knocked out twice, and then he fought this. That it's a lot of that in Canelo's resume, right? When he fought Golovkin started chasing him. He didn't really want to fight Golovkin. He was real mum on fighting him. He was real strong. Golovkin had to come and invade his post-fight interview and sort of like, you know, call out his manhood for him to say, hey, you know, I'll fight you. You know, Mexicans don't, you know, we don't run from anything. And he kind of got Canelo to that point, and then they eventually had the fights that they had. So I say all that to say Canelo is a good talent. We just don't quite know how good he is, because throughout the course of his career, he wasn't always calling out the best guys. Now to the cruiserweight thing. This is tricky. Great feet. It's dangerous no matter what cruiserweight you're fighting. But if you pick the right guy, you know, job well done. So when I look at the guy he's calling out, and I haven't done extensive research on him, he's a big guy. He can punch, but you see a lot of flaws. You see a guy that's going to take a lot of punishment. And if Canelo is on point, he shouldn't have any problems with that guy at cruiserweight.
Why do guys move up? Because, look, one of my favorite boxers of all time is Roy Jones Jr., right? And he moved up at the best possible time to move up to heavyweight, right? But then when he won the championship at heavyweight, it was never the same. And people don't appreciate what Roy Jones did in his division. And I know for him, it was because it was hard to find people to fight.
Yeah.
Right? But with Canelo, he is the draw. So he could fight a tomato can. People going to show up. Why move up?
He's moving up because he wants to make history. He wants to, when people look back at his career, he wants people to say he went to 5 divisions, 6 divisions.
Okay.
And just even the reaction he got just from saying that he wanted to fight this guy, you know, he's in the news for a day or two. So it's getting the reaction that they want.
Okay.
And even though this guy isn't like the best cruiserweight in the world, you still got to respect if Canelo's able to go up in weight and pull that off. There's still something to be said about that. But just to, back to your original question, people move up for multiple reasons. Sometimes it's the money. Sometimes it's to prove that they can. And hey, I'm not just, you know, that was sort of the knock on me for a while. I was at 168. Oh, you've only been in one division. Okay, y'all want to move the goalpost. So let me go up a little bit. I've always wanted to be a multi-divisional champion. So let me go ahead and do it. So there's multiple reasons why guys move up. Sometimes they eat themselves or grow themselves out of a weight class. Many reasons why guys go up. But the primary reasons are for history, to prove greatness so I can be a multi-divisional champion. And the money's bigger. The higher you go, the bigger bag you get.
Before we get you out of here, Andre, like you said, you've always said you're very happy in retirement. But what do you make of like this whole you versus Canelo thing? Like people put it on social media. Maybe do it, Andre Ward versus Canelo. Could that draw you out of retirement? Like, how do you react to people who are all of a sudden interested in something like that? Because you know it would be like a monster payday and everybody would be super into it.
He's smiling.
I'm smiling for a lot of reasons. I'll just start by saying, what do I feel about it? I think it's a mixed bag. You know, on one hand, it's true fans and true supporters that are like, dude, we want to see you back. Why not fight this guy? On the other hand, it's manufactured. There was no talk of me fighting Canelo when I was acting.
When you was fighting.
When I won my last fight against Sergey Kovalev, that would have been a great time to mention my name. Nobody, he never said my name as far as I know throughout my whole 13-year career. But then he goes and fights a common opponent. And I'm waiting to see, okay, is he going to say my name? It's some, you know, some synergy here. It's a situation where we both got the same guy. Oh, I'm going to talk to my team and see what happens. So that was the only time that I was ever remotely interested to see if he said my name. But beyond that, it's no rivalry. We have no history. And it's taking everything in my power to stick to my word and to stay focused on the plan, which is to retire, stay retired, create a different narrative and legacy for the guys coming behind me, man, and to build some different things, man. And I am. I mean, I can't give away too much because it's not done yet, but I'm very close to signing a deal for my documentary as well as my book. So I'm trying to put my focus, my energy, my competitiveness, my drive in other areas, man. I'm trying. But Dre, they keep trying
to. Somebody say the wrong thing. Somebody say the wrong thing. If somebody say the wrong thing.
Hey, I'm trying, man. I'm trying to stay on social media so much. You know, I'm just trying to stay focused because every time I turn around, they're saying my name.
Thanks again to the soldier God himself, Andre Ward, for joining the program. SOG, one of our favorites. If you guys missed any of that, you want the whole conversation, we talked about a lot of things. We talked about some Warriors basketball. We talked about Frank Gore boxing, all that type of stuff. You guys can get that now on theticketmiami.com. The entire interview is up there for your consumption. That's our show this week, everybody. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.